You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yesterday morning, the government announced a new financial support for people who have lost their jobs as a result of COVID-19 on the 1st of March or later. From June 8th, those eligible will receive a 12-week period payment of $490 a week for full-time workers and $250 for part-timers. It is expected to benefit 230,000 people and cost $570 million, $1.2 billion of payment offset by $635 million of saved benefit payments. Social Development Minister Carmela Cipollone says these extraordinary times make it more difficult for people to cut costs or find a job as quickly as they otherwise would. A tourism worker and mother in Rotorua says the funding would be invaluable while she upskilled and looked after her children. Interest journalist Jeanne Tristrubene says on Twitter that the funding is necessary to prevent a mass wave of people defaulting on their home mortgages. The Council of Trade Unions also welcomed the announcement, saying the government has shown how nimble and responsive they can be to the needs of the community. So it all sounds pretty positive, but some have noticed something very wrong with these payments, namely that they are almost double that of the main benefit. A single adult on the existing job seeker benefit receives only $250 a week, compared to $490 for those on the income relief payment, as well as pretty much being an acknowledgement by the government that the existing benefit is simply too low to live on, there are greater concerns. Auckland Action Against Poverty warns that the government is creating a two-tiered welfare system, drawing an arbitrary distinction between deserving and undeserving welfare recipients. I spoke to Brooke Fiafia, a spokesperson for the organisation, who elaborated on these concerns.
I guess our main problem is that the government's introduced a two-tiered system of welfare, so that it seems like those who they believe are more deserving of support have essentially been given that, and people who have existed on the benefit for a very long time still aren't able to access the same amount. So we've been campaigning for individualised benefits for a very long time, and the income relief payments is essentially it. So it's disappointing and frustrating to see that the government deems this group of people more deserving in some ways of receiving extra support versus people who have always been in this space. So
I further asked Brooke how this plays into the wider stigma around beneficiaries.
Exactly. I think it's really reflective of this rhetoric that we have in Aotearoa, that people have to earn their keep, and also into the wider narrative of actually living in a capitalist system and people existing as economic units. And, you know, you have to really show people that you deserve to be looked after in some ways, where in essence, like, everybody who exists deserves to be here. And also this whole idea of commodification of basic human rights. Why is it that we have to pay for these things that we need in order to exist and that we know are essential to all of us and our well-being?
Finance Minister Grant Robertson notes the rationale for the payment comes from the fact that the pandemic and impending recession are a once-in-a-100-year event. He adds that the new income relief payment is not welfare, but a one-off payment similar to the job loss cover payment introduced during the Canterbury earthquakes or the restart package from the 2008 financial crisis. Here is Minister Grant Robertson.
We do understand how tough it is and has been for people who have experienced a sudden drop in income.
Peter Sykes, Chief Executive of Mangere East Family Services, criticised Robertson's reasoning that many people will experience, quote, a sharp drop in income, noting that this is exactly what unemployment is. He therefore named it a benefit for the middle class. People lose their jobs to forces beyond their control all the time through no fault of their own. And Brooke Fiafia from Auckland Action Against Poverty notes that we are in the middle of a crisis, but people have been living in crisis for a long time before the pandemic. She also doesn't buy the government's explanations, noting that they have shown their potential to be transformative.
I think the government has shown through in their response to COVID that it's really easy to shift things and do things really quickly when they want, you know. And I refuse to believe that the government thinks that what people are on at the moment or what beneficiaries are receiving at the moment is enough. They know that it's not enough, and yet they continue to perpetuate this whole ideology that, you know, people are somehow going to be okay on living with nothing. And also they've forecasted that a lot more people will be moving into this space. And so they're saying, yeah, well, all the hundreds of thousands of people that have lost their job and who haven't had a job for a long time, kind of like, oh yeah, all good, you guys can just live in poverty.
A silver lining of this is that the government has shown it has the ability and willingness to impose individualised benefits. I asked Brooke to elaborate more on what individualised benefits means.
So at the moment, what happens is that if you are in a relationship and your partner earns the minimum wage or even just above the minimum wage, then you're not eligible to receive a benefit from the government. And so individualising benefits means that people should get their own money irrespective of what type of relationship they're in. So, you know, you're not dependent on your partner to support you. This disproportionately affects women who are in relationships where there might be violence involved. It's kind of like you can't kind of leave because you don't have any income support that you can, access?
Yeah, and how that might have been exacerbated during this time as well, as we've seen increased rates of domestic violence.
Yeah.
The income relief payment is still means tested, meaning you're only eligible if your partner earns less than $2,000 a week. However, that is still significantly higher than minimum wage. By my calculations, it comes to $50 an hour. Now compare that to the job seeker support where you and your partner can't earn more than $90 a week combined before the rate of benefit starts to reduce. Stuff News did some quick calculations to find that a household receiving this new income support could end up bringing in $1,976 a week total, compared to just $375 for a single parent on job seeker support. Auckland Action Against Poverty also notes that people under the income relief payment will not be subject to the same kinds of invasive relationship investigations by the Ministry of Social Development as those on the job seeker benefit. Writing on the spin-off, researcher Max Rashbrook has argued that this could be the hint of a shift in welfare policy towards both permanent social insurance and core benefit increases. Minister of Finance Grant Robertson did note that these kinds of social insurance, unemployment insurance schemes are commonplace around the world. The Council of Trade Unions President Richard Wagstaff points in particular to the models in Scandinavian countries. Wagstaff suggests a system akin to ACC, where a small levy is paid by workers, employers and the government, where those who lose their jobs receive 80% of their salary while they retrain or look for another job. As with other benefits, migrant workers do not qualify for these payments. Robertson was clear to emphasise that they were not changing the underlying settings of the welfare system. An Indian chef in Rotorua spoke to the New Zealand Herald about his concerns. The man had studied and worked in New Zealand since November 2018, but will be forced to return to India if he does not find a job, with his $40,000 student loan still to pay off. Brooke Fiafia from Auckland Action Against Poverty also calls for migrants to be included.
We have asked the government to access a part of the Social Security Act to ensure that migrants are looked after as well, but they haven't done that. We have seen in Portugal that they've made everybody who's there or who's waiting for residency and who are there as migrant citizens so that everybody is able to access support during this time. And we have pushed for that as well. There's a specific fund that migrants can access at the moment, but I mean, it's still not enough.
There's also been much political upheaval within government about these payments, in particular between Labor and the Greens. In 2017, when forming the government, the Confidence and Supply Agreement between Labor and the Greens promised to overhaul the welfare system. Now, benefit payments did go up by $25 a week in March. However, this can hardly be described as an overhaul. Marama Davidson notes that Labor has not met its promise.
We've been consistently clear that this needs to happen urgently and desperately. It hasn't happened yet. Both New Zealand First and Labor need to come to the table on this.
The Greens did run into a small amount of controversy, however, by wrongly claiming that they are the only party pushing for higher benefit payments. Māori Party co-leader Debbie Ngarewa-Pekka reminded the Greens that her party aims to double payments. No doubt this will continue to be a pertinent issue in this year's election.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/becasts.